welcome to class today. Glad to see you all here. Before we begin with what I have prepared, are there questions, comments, concerns, or other things for me? Okay. Then I have, I believe it's just one thing in the way of announcement. Wednesday and Friday, I will be presenting at a conference about computing for personal history. As a consequence, Professor Sheriff, Mark Sheriff, who taught this class for several years before I took over, will be here to lecture to you on both Wednesday and Friday to continue with the plan as we go along. So you'll get to hear his perspective of all of how this works and so on as we go there. Because I'll be out of town, I personally will not be holding office hours tomorrow through the end of the week. TA office hours and Professor Bassett's office hours will still be going on as usual. I've already updated the office hour schedule to reflect this. So there's that. I've also been asked to talk about the office hour queue. Okay, so if you go to the main page and you click on the office hours and then you click on the office hour queue, this is how you tell people that you want help. Okay, now you can see instructor view, which normally you couldn't see. Okay, so when you come here, can I change who I am? No, I can't. When you come here, if there is somebody around, you can tell them where you are located in Thornton Hall. All of the desks have numbers on them. So in front of each desk, there'll be a little letter number combination. This is not a valid letter number combination, so I'm not sure where this person is. Okay. You log in. If there are no TAs on duty, or if the queue is already very full and the TAs are leaving in a few minutes, you may not find the queue on. The queue is how you tell the TAs to come look for you and where to look. They will only come to Thornton Hall stacks. If you are anywhere else, they won't come find you. So go to Thornton Hall stacks, go to the office hour queue, say you want help, and they will come help you. Questions about that? Okay, one other little comment. There was a small problem with my pre-grading script. I knew this would happen, which is why I said I will try, not guarantee, to give you early results. I believe I have fixed it. So in the future, you should get correct answers. Before, there was two little problems. One was that it would sometimes claim you had passed 6 out of 7 tests, but it didn't give you any error messages. That should be gone now. And the other one was sometimes it would claim all of your files didn't compile when really only one of them didn't compile, and that should be gone now as well. So hopefully you should be getting correct feedback from that. If more things came up, I will continue trying to fix them so you can continue to get good feedback. This is a new system, so I'm sort of making it as we go. And there will probably be at least one more bug before the semester is over. All right. So before we get into the lecture for today, question. How many of you have read at least 2 pages from chapter 3 already? All right. As I anticipated, it's at least 10 times as many people as my 1 o'clock section. So that means we get to go a little faster. Hopefully this will be a little smoother for people. So chapter 3 talks about if statements. Talks about how to make something only sometimes happen. So far we've talked about how to make scanners, get input, compute things based on them, and print them out. But everything that happens sort of always happens. We can't make this happen sometimes and that happen other times. So today we're going to talk about the tool that Java provides to make things happen only some of the time. So let's start with stuff we already know. I'll make myself a new scanner that reads from system.in. Okay. We've seen this before. We've seen the red squiggly before. We understand we can mouse over and it will import for us. Or I happen to know the keyboard shortcut that will make that happen. Poof. So I will do it. Okay. I make a scanner. I ask somebody for input. Give me an integer. Okay. So I'm going to ask for an integer from the user. In a prompt, prompts are traditionally prints, not println's. I will then get that integer by using the next int command. And then let's print it out. Okay. before I start adding to this, is there any piece of this little chunk of code you want me to talk at all anymore about? So we can be confident about this before we move on to new material. Yes? I believe that I did not specify a time on the page, which means as long as it is that day on the calendar, you're on time. If I did specify a time, then it is that time, but I don't think I did. So yes, midnight Eastern time would be the default. Okay, just to make sure, I'd like you to hold up a number of fingers describing your comfort level with this code. One is, I'm totally lost. What's that? And five is, I get it totally. There's nothing more to say about it. Hold up fingers. Okay, great. So most of you are fours or fives. There's a handful of threes floating around. If you're feeling a little shaky on this, I'd encourage you to go talk to TAs. Usually people only come to them with questions like, why isn't my homework working? And they get really excited and happy when you ask some more interesting question, like, how does this code work? So I'd encourage you, if you're feeling a little fuzzy on some of this, to go ask somebody to walk you through it and help you understand it. I want to pick up from here, okay? So I run this program. It asks me for an integer. I give it an integer. It prints it back out. Nothing fancy, nothing exciting. But what if I only want to sometimes print something out? So let's suppose that I want to print out that the particular number you gave me is positive. Okay? But I only want to print that out if it actually is positive. So if you give me 13, great, you should print 13 as positive. But if you give me, say, negative 3, I'd rather you didn't print negative 3 as positive. I want it to happen sometimes, but not always. Java provides something called an if statement. We've mentioned the word statement a few times, but let me make sure we understand what a statement is. A statement is one thing we are telling the computer to do. Typically, a statement ends in a semicolon. So this line right here is a statement. This line is a statement. This line is a statement. All these lines are statements. If they end in a semicolon, they are a statement. Okay? An instruction, a single step. And there's something called an if statement, which is made out of another statement. All I do to make an if statement is I put if, and then in parentheses, the condition I want to have satisfied. Okay, so if x is greater than 0, and then I put the rest of the statement, so I keep my system.println. Okay, it modifies a statement and makes it a conditional statement. It only happens in some condition. And now when I run this, if I give it 3, it says 3 is positive. If I give it negative 3, it doesn't. It is conditional. We don't usually write the statement this way, and we'll show you the way we usually write it and why in a moment. But before we do, any questions about this? Okay. No part of this is optional. You can't leave off the parentheses. You can't leave off the word if, and so on. Okay? They must all be there. But we very rarely write code this way. And the reason we don't write code this way is because it only lets us modify one statement. And usually, if we have something that only sometimes happens, it's several things that all only happen sometimes. So usually what we do is we put a curly brace at the end of the if, and then put the statement on the next line inside the curly braces. Curly braces inside of a method, just like curly braces anywhere else, they bind together a group of things and associate them with whatever was before. They create, in this case, what's called a compound statement or a block. Okay? So I have this block or compound statement which can have as many statements as I want. Okay, I can put as many things inside these curly braces as I want, and all of them will only happen if that condition was true, and they won't happen otherwise. Okay? So now when I give it an integer, it does the two things that are associated with the if, and if I give it a negative integer, it skips both of them together. Questions? Okay. I can make as many of these as I want. I can put them all over my code. I can put them inside of each other. So for example, I could put another if statement afterwards, which says if x is greater than, how about 15? We could say that x is big, because everybody knows any number bigger than 15 is a big number. Okay? I now have two if statements. They are independent of one another. Okay? I first check if x is greater than 0, and if it is, I do something. I then check if x is greater than 15, and if it is, I do something. They're unassociated with one another. Okay? So if I happen to give a middle-sized number, the first one happens, but the second one doesn't. If I happen to give a big number, a bigger number, then I get both of them to happen. Okay? And in this particular instance, I can't get only the second one to happen. Although in general, if I tweak that condition, I could. And I can put them inside of each other. Okay? So I could, for example, say, if x is equal to 42, then x is the answer. Oops. Okay? Now this will only happen if it was greater than 0, and then if it was also 42. Okay? Because I have an if inside the body of another if, inside the curly braces of another if, it is one of the statements that will only happen sometimes. And in itself has other statements inside it that will only happen sometimes. So let's get this in a situation where we could get several of these to happen, right? So if I give an integer, say 0, I get 0 is not big. Because I said if x is less than 15, print it's not big. If I give 20, I get it's positive, I like positive. If I give 3, I get it's positive and is not big. Okay? If I give 42, I get it's positive, I like positive, it is the answer. Right? I can, by putting in different numbers, different subsets of my statements will happen based on these ifs and the conditions I have associated with them. Questions? Yes?
Like if the number 42 were less than 0, kind of thing, would...
Good question. So let's suppose that negative 42 were the answer. Okay? Is there any way to get negative 42 as the answer to print out in this code? Is that possible? I think it's possible. I think it's impossible. I don't know. All right, if you don't know, or even if you do because somebody next to you might not, talk about it. Is it possible or not? Then we'll take the poll again. Make sure you agree. Take this again. Yes, it is possible to get negative 42 as the answer. No, it is not possible. I still don't know. Okay, we had a few people that thought it was possible. Does anybody want to be brave enough to suggest what I need to tell my program to get it to print out? If I put negative 42, what's going to happen?
Crash.
It'll crash? No, it won't crash. Negative 42 is not bigger than 0. So I'm going to skip everything that was associated with the not bigger than the bigger than 0 thing. That whole block, I'm going to skip right past it. I'm then going to say, is negative 42 less than 15? Yes, it is. So I'm going to print out negative 42 is not big. And then because I always print it out, I'll print out the number afterwards. That's not an if, it always happens. Okay? So ifs inside of other ifs, we can sort of combine the conditions as we go. Did that answer your question, which I didn't so rudely didn't actually let you finish asking?
Yeah, mostly, but then if you were to have two if statements with one set of curly braces,
Nope. So if I put another if in here, they would be unrelated to one another in every way. Okay? Other questions? Okay. Now, having ifs unrelated to one another in every way turns out to be something we don't usually want. Usually, if there's something I only do when some x is true, there's something I only do if x is false as well. It's either or. Okay, is the most common way that we end up writing programs. And so it's possible for me to say, do one thing if x is greater than 0, and another thing if x is less than or equal to 0. Okay, so there's nothing to stop me from putting down here. I have x equals greater than 0 up there. I could put x is less than or equal to 0 down here. And this is a perfectly fine thing to do in theory. Okay, it gives me the behavior that one of the two happens and only one of the two. But we don't like it. There's a few reasons we don't like it. The biggest reason we don't like it is the line of the first if and the second if are correlated. I need to keep them in sync. If I change one, I have to change the other. And that's bad. I don't like having to do anything twice. One, because I might forget, and two, because I'm lazy. Okay? So I don't want that. So Java provides a special statement that I can put only right after an if statement. Okay? There's a special statement I can only put right after an if statement called an else statement. So I can say, if x is greater than 0, do whatever you do. Else, I can say, do something else. Okay? So if it wasn't positive, I can say it's negative. Else statements can only appear as a statement that follows an if statement. It's their only legal place. They have no condition because they're just sort of otherwise. If the if didn't happen, then we do the else. That's it. Okay? And they always are sort of attached to whichever else I just finished. Whatever if I just finished. Which is the if that started the curly brace I follow. Assuming there is a curly brace, which we will always put curly braces because they make our life easier. Okay? So even though there's an if inside the if, I follow the outer one because we followed the if, the curly brace for the outer one. Questions? Yes?
Can you have two if statements before an else?
Can I have two if statements before an else? Sure. Let's do that. Let's put an if statement, and then an if statement, and then an else. Oh, so you mean can I have, instead of one of two things, can I have one of three things? Yes, you can. You do it in a weird way that we'll talk about at some length on Wednesday. Okay? We actually, the way we really do it, for now, right, it may be greater than 0, otherwise it may be equal to 0, and I put another if inside the else. Okay? And then wraps with another else. So if you look at this code here, if x is greater than 0, it's positive. Otherwise, if it's equal to 0, it's 0. Otherwise, it's negative. Okay? Only one of those three things will happen. Because either the first if happens, or the else happens. And inside the else, either the if or the else happens. So I only get one of those three things. There's a standard shorthand way of writing this. We'll talk about it on Wednesday. But for now, if we want to do it, we just put ifs and elses inside of each other. So it says that 3 is positive, 0 is 0, and negative 3 is negative, because that's what my code says it should do. Questions? Okay. So that's if. is a useful tool. It's not complicated. Besides spelling otherwise else instead of otherwise, there's not much fascinating about it. It does basically what you'd expect. However, there's some weirdness with the thing you put inside the parentheses. So let's talk about these things you put inside the parentheses. These are sometimes called the guard or the condition. Not particularly important to know that word, but what this is an expression in Java. Just like 1 plus 3 turns into 4, x greater than 0 turns into either true or false. It turns into a value of the Boolean type. The greater than sign is an operator that affects two numbers and turns them into one, true or false. Just like plus turns two numbers into another number. So let's talk about comparisons and what we're allowed to do with them. So I'm going to make myself here a new class, which I will call about comparison. Hey. And so let's look at some comparisons we could do. Because I don't want to keep typing things, I'm just going to set x equals 0. And there's a variety of things I'm allowed to say. So I can say, as we've already seen, x is less than 3. That's a perfectly valid thing to say. So we're just going to see if we get into this or not. So if that, and then we can have an else. Okay. So very simple program. I take 0, I compare it to 3. If it's true, I go in. If it's not, I don't. And I print which way I went. Okay. So I run this. And I say I got here because hopefully no surprise. X less than 3 is in fact true. But if I were to say, for example, 0 is less than x is less than 3, I want x to be between 0 and 3, Java won't even let me start doing anything with this. The reason Java doesn't like this is because, again, the less than operator takes two numbers and turns them into either true or false. So let's sort of walk through what happens when Java tries to evaluate this expression, the 0 less than x is less than 3. Okay? So it starts with that, and then it says all operators have associativity. They either, the leftmost one happens first, or the rightmost one happens first, and pretty much all of them, it's the leftmost one happens first. So this is the same thing as saying the quantity 0 less than x is that less than 3. Okay, we have to do one of the two operators first. And then, of course, 0 less than x, because x is 0, is going to be false. And then we need to know, is false less than 3? And that doesn't make any sense. Okay, false doesn't have a numeric value. I can't compare it to 3. So this is a meaningless statement. And because it's a meaningless statement, Java will give us the less than operator is undefined for types Boolean and int. Right? It's trying to tell us you've got here a less than operator. On the left side of it, you've got a Boolean, a true false. On the right side of it, you've got an int. This does not work. Doesn't make sense. You can't do it. Questions? I see why this doesn't work. Nope, I still don't get it. Okay. Most of you got it. Great. The textbook has an excellent explanation. Glance through that. If the textbook you've already read and you still don't understand, if you have a particular question, I'm happy to field it. Okay, we'll show how to make this work in a moment. Before we do that, let's talk about what the operators we have available are. Okay? We've got less than and we've got greater than, and they do exactly what you'd expect. Less than, greater than. We've also seen one more already, which is the same as, equals equals. We spell the same as equals equals instead of just one equal sign, because one equal sign already means change what's in a variable. So we use two equal signs to mean don't change what's in a variable, compare things to see if they're the same. So equals equals means they are the same. There's three more that are related to these. If I want to say less than or equal to, that key doesn't exist on my keyboard. So I type a less than and an equals. Less than or equal to. I put them in the same order we would speak them aloud. Less than or equal to, not equal to or less than. The less than sign comes first. Same thing for greater than or equal to. The greater than sign comes first because we would say greater than first. And the last one we have is not equal to. And in Java and most other programming languages, for strange reasons that basically have to do with nobody knew what key to use, so they picked something, we spell not as an exclamation point. So say not equal to, we say exclamation point equals, not equal to. Six things: less than, greater than, equals, less or equal, greater than or equal, not equal. Those six things are the things we can use to compare primitive values, like numbers and characters and booleans. And that's it. That's all we got. Questions about any of those? Hopefully not. But if there are, I'd be happy to answer them. Yes?
So what does the double equal sign mean?
It means is the same as. Right? So if I said 0 equals equals x, that would be? And in this case, what value would it have?
X.
What value is x?
Zero.
And what value is 0?
X.
And are they the same? Is 0 equal to x? Yes. So this will be true, and because it's true, we will go in. Okay, if I said 1 equal to equal x, I'm saying no, okay, because x was 0. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes, equals and not equals turns out to have what is called transitivity, just like plus. You could swap the order. Less than obviously doesn't. Other questions? Okay, so how would I do the interval notation? How would I do the 0 is less than x is less than 3? Okay? How do I do this? And the answer is, I split it up into things that make sense. So I really mean when I say 0 is less than x is less than 3, is I mean 0 is less than x and x is less than 3. Those both have to be true for this to be a true statement. And so I need to spell that out explicitly. The way we spell and in Java is with two ampersands. Not just one, two of them. If you use only one, sometimes it will work, sometimes it won't. It is hard to predict. So always use two of them. The reason that we need two of them is mostly an accident having to do with how C was designed to write operating systems and not regular code, and Java descended from C and so on. But this is the traditional way most languages write and as two ampersands. And if I want to say 0 is less than x and x is less than 3, that's the way I say it. Now see, for 0 that isn't true, but for 1 it would be, but for 4 it wouldn't be. Okay. So that's how I handle this multiple things is with ampersands. Ampersands are operators, just like less than is an operator. An ampersand combines two booleans, two true falses, and makes a true only if they were both true, makes a false if either one was false. Okay? It's true if they're both true. It's true if the first one is true and the second one is true. In addition to and, we've also got or. Or is spelled with two vertical bars. The vertical bar key on your keyboard is the shift and the key right above your enter. It might look kind of like a stretched out colon instead of a vertical bar on your keyboard, Look for it. Find it. The vertical bar right above the enter key. If you aren't currently using a keyboard, look at your neighbors. You will need to know where this is. And you've probably never typed it before. Okay? That means or. Or is true if either the left thing or the right thing are true. If either one is true, we get something true. Okay? So if I wanted to say, I either want 0 to be less than x, or I want 0 to be greater than 3, okay, then I put an or in there. And this would be true for all negative numbers and everything 4 or bigger, but nothing in between. The last thing we have at our disposal for modifying Boolean values is an exclamation point, which means not. Okay? It modifies whatever follows it. And so I can say, for example, not x less than 3. As an exclamation point. So let's walk through what this piece of code right here means. Okay, let's talk through what Java is going to do when it runs this. Okay, so it starts with 0 less than x or not x is less than 3. It's going to do the thing in parentheses first. Well, actually, first it's going to substitute in a value for x. Okay, so 0 is less than 0 or 0 is less than 3 with the not still there. It's then going to evaluate the less than signs. Okay, so 0 less than 0 is false. And 0 less than 3 is true. Not of true is false. And an or of two false things is false. Okay? Because or is true if either one is true, but neither is true, so it has to be false. Questions? Yes?
Is there any way to set it up so that if one of the conditions is true, it'll return a true value, but if those are true, it'll return false?
That is what OR does. So the question was, can I make it give me a true if either one is true or false if either of them, if both are false? That's what OR does.
But if there, is there any way to do that, but then if both are true, it returns a false value?
Ah, so you want them to be different truth values rather than both the same. Is that right? You want true if they're different and false if they're the same?
Yes.
Yes. There is an operator that tells me true if they're different and false if they're the same. Do you happen to remember what it is? It's not equal. Right? So if I say true is not equal to false and false is not equal to true, so if one's true and one isn't, that'll give me true. If they're both true or both false, it'll give me false, right? So I can still use the equals equals and the not equals in my logic if I want. It's pretty unusual to do that. But if you need it, you can. Other questions? Okay. One more thing I will comment is you're messing around with more complicated conditions like this. Parentheses are your friend. Every operator, including not equals, including and, including all of those, they all have precedence, just like multiplication happens before addition. So addition happens before less than, and less than before and so on. But remembering what the order is non-trivial and not very much point to it. So when you're writing a complicated expression like this, use parentheses. Use them everywhere. It doesn't matter. You can use tons of them. In early versions of Java, you had a limit of only 64 independent parentheses on a single line. But that went away. So you can use thousands of them and it should just work. Okay? So use more parentheses. and you will know what's going on, and you won't have to wonder if you got things in the right order. All right. Here's one more thing we need to know as we're thinking about these guards, and that is that they don't work for objects. Okay? Or they don't work reliably for objects, might be a better way of putting it. If I try to use an operator on an object, something weird will happen. Sometimes I'll have a compiler error, it won't even let me start running, I'll get a red squiggle and can't go forward. Sometimes it'll run but do the wrong thing. Sometimes it'll run but only sometimes do the wrong thing, so we just don't do it. If I want to compare strings or any other kind of object, I don't use equals equals, I don't use less than, I use methods of the objects. I ask the objects to compare themselves to each other. So say if s dot equals t, then I should copy this down. So if I say if they are the same, then I'll print out that they're the same. Okay, and I use this method. In order to get my code to act the way I want it to, I don't say, are they the same equals equals? I ask the first one, do you look the same as the second one? The dot equals method. If you forget this, if you use equals equals, your code will sometimes work and it sometimes won't. And that will be annoying and frustrating. So remember, operators are for primitives. Int, double, boolean, char. Methods are for objects. String, scanner, and every other thing we will ever see in the class. And the method to compare things, dot equals. Yes?
Can you say all of that again real quick?
Sure. Going back how far?
Just those two last sentences.
Sure. Operators, plus, minus, divide, times, less than equal, equals, equals. All those operators are for primitive types. The primitive types we will use in this class are int, double, boolean, and char. There are four more. We will never use them. Okay? So for primitives, we use those. Operators. If it's not a primitive, if it's a string, if it's a scanner, if it's anything else other than those four types, we use methods, dot something. And the method that compares objects is called dot equals. Let's me compare two objects, see if they look the same. Good? Other questions? Okay, so here's what I'd like you to do. We've talked about how this works. I'd like you to try it. And here's how. In my lecture notes from last week's lecture, I put this nice description of when your application deadline is for various types of CS majors and minors. Okay? I would like you to write a program that asks the user questions such as, are you a CS student? Or, what year are you? Or so on. Collects their answers and then tells them their application deadline. Okay? As written down here. You don't need to give the whole detail, just something to show around that it works. Questions about what I want? Yes?
Is what you just said on a rubric somewhere?
It is not. I'm not making you turn this in. I just want you to play around with if and else so that we can answer the questions you don't know you have yet. So, I want you to write a program that asks questions and tells you the deadline from this list. Or did you mean before that? What did you mean was written down? That or something before it?
Like,
I want you to do it right now.
Okay.
In the next few minutes. You won't finish. That's fine. Okay? We'll walk around and try to help you. You will find this a lot more fun if you work with somebody else. So if you are sitting with nobody next to you, I strongly encourage you to get up and move. All right. Who's confused? Not many people. Okay. Either that or they're all embarrassed to tell me. So I'm just going to walk through how I would approach this. Before I do, there are lots of ways to approach this problem. I had one student ask me, could I just list all of these things with numbers and tell them to tell me a number? So I say, one, you're a first year C student. Two, you're a second year C student. Three, you're a college BA student, so on. And they say, I'm number three, and it tells them, yes, you can. It's an easy way to write the code, and a lot of really old programs, that's how user interfaces were designed. Numbered menus. It's not done very much anymore because we've started being nicer to computer users. Okay? I could also ask, are you a first year C student? And if they say yes, I print something. Otherwise, I do everything else. Are you a C student of higher year? Yes, no, right? But often what I'll try to do, and partly for example purposes, I'm going to ask a handful of basic questions. So I'm going to start by asking if they're a C student. So let me actually make a new class here. To make myself a new class, I'm going to call it CS Deadlines. Okay? I'm going to need a scanner because I have to talk to the user. So let's just go grab a scanner. I wrote one earlier. I'll just use it again. I'll copy it over to my new file. Okay? And the first thing I'm going to ask is, are you a C's student? And then I need to get what they said back. So I'll get a string because I expect them to type a word. I could get a Boolean, but I don't expect people to answer that question true or false. I expect them to say yes or no. Okay? And they'll say if C's happens to be equals to yes, then I'll assume they're C student. Otherwise, I'm going to assume they aren't. Okay? And then inside each of those, I'm going to ask more questions. So, I've asked them if they're a C student. Let's suppose they are a C student. What do I need to know next? There's three C situations: minor, first year, or not first year. So let's ask the minor first. I don't know. We don't need to. Let's make a string minor. I'll get the next thing there, but I need to ask them a question first so they know I'm asking. Okay. Do you want to minor in CS? I can get the minor, and then I have another if statement. We'll write that in a moment. Okay. But if it wasn't a C student, then there is no minor. So now I just have to ask them, are they trying to transfer to C's or not? Right? Are they going for the BA or are they transferring to C's? So here I'm going to say, do you want to transfer to C's? And I'll find out if they want to transfer. Okay? And then I'd add some more ifs in these two cases. All right, so let's suppose, let's come up here, let's do the most interesting one. If minor equals, not ends with, equals, sorry. Minor equals yes, then I'll do something, we'll come back to that. But let's do the no first. Because if they don't, then I'll need to know what year they are. Okay, if they don't want a minor, I need to say, what year are you? And I'll need to get their year, which is going to be an int type of thing. Okay, and then I have to say if their year is 1. Remember, because it's a primitive, I use equals equals instead of the dot equals I use for objects. Then I need to print out the deadline for a major first year, which is, I believe, use the normal declaration form. Okay? But if it wasn't, then I need to tell them, go to the CS office before 17th of February. Okay? And so on. I'd fill in these other ifs and elses as I went. Yes? No, it won't work if they capitalize yes. This is a really picky program. It also won't work if they say yup or nah, uh-uh, or it'll only work if they say yes, three letters, lowercase with nothing else. Okay? How do you make it more robust? It's something we'll talk about a little bit later on. We'll mostly ignore making our programs robust this semester. I think that's the time. If anybody wants to ask questions, I'm happy to answer them. But otherwise, we'll come back on Wednesday and talk more about if and else.